Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vaibhava ki, Grantaraja Srimad Bhagavatama ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jai Nithai Gopremana. Okay, so what did we discuss last night? Anyone want to see this video? Motivated, uninterrupted. This is the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Four servants at the door of bhakti. Dharma, Amma. All become servants.
Good point. Any other points?
Main instruction we learn from this platform is that Krishna does fulfill a material desire, but he fulfills them in such a way that he purifies us of the desires. Mm. And the same thing he did with Prabhupada. Mm. And in that connection you were telling us about Prabhupada, that Prabhupada never expected, you know, that sort of devotional service from his disciples. He was always pushing. Moment is not complacent, but pushing, you know, to push ourselves to service.
And if you don't push yourself, then everyone else will push you.
Yeah. I heard one lecture about the ascending order of bhakti. In that it was mentioned that Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj and the gopis are compared. And it was mentioned that this is the ascending order of bhakti, highest being the gopis. And it was mentioned that Dhruva Maharaj had to live in this planet for a longer time in the material world before he could go back to the spiritual world. That's because of the Nishri Bhakti, because he was alive, but his devotion was not unmotivated. It started off with some motivation. So he had to live for many years to fulfill that desire of him. And then the Lord assured him that he would go back to the spiritual world. And Prahlad Maharaj was relatively higher, but still Prahlad Maharaj also had to live for some time. But the duration was shorter than that of Dhruva. For the Buddha, there is no question of it.
Anything else?
The distribution of prasadam in Kali Yuga, the distribution of prasadam is more radical than the distribution of anything material.
Any other points?
One should not come to any jiva avatar or especially the Russian avatar and meet up from our new classes like
Anything else?
Suruchi because you offended
I think people have covered pure devotion is a peta and uninterrupted and
So say in the beginning of chapter 9 that Dhruva Maharaj has Shakshat Darshan, or direct vision of the Lord. This is the goal of Krishna consciousness. This is the prayojana. Prayojana means the ultimate goal. What we are aspiring for. And what are we aspiring for as devotees? It must be clear in our mind. If we don't understand where we're going, we'll never get there. So we have to understand that Bhagavad Gita is extremely exalted. It is the highest subject matter. It is Paramahamsa Samhita. So it speaks and directs us to achieving love of Godhead, Krishna Prema, as the prayojana of life. When one has prema or love for Krishna, then one sees Krishna face to face. That is the goal of Krishna consciousness. So the Bhagavatam is leading us towards this goal. It's not leading us towards anything less. We should not be confused about what the goal is. The goal is nothing less than achieving love for Krishna and having a personal relationship with Krishna, a transcendental relationship with Krishna. So the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us this point. Not that we get cheated by Kaitava Dharma, because most of the spiritual organizations in the world and religious organizations, they teach Kaitava Dharma, or cheating religion. Even though originally they were not meant for that purpose, but these days, then, as Prabhupada said, Christianity has basically become churchianity. Which means it's not really Christianity anymore. Because what did Christ teach? He taught love thy God with all thy heart. But these days that's not emphasized purely. So people have so many material motivations. So we have to reject the material motivations that are within our heart and come to the level of pure bhakti or pure devotional service. Ahoituki bhakti. So this is what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching. There's nothing less than pure devotional service to Krishna, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Dhruva Maharaji sees the Lord, and then he begins to offer prayers to the Lord, many exalted prayers. And then the Lord responds to him, and the Lord leaves. And tonight we'll do verse 29. Because verse 29 has 11 paragraphs. It's a huge purport. Prabhupada says in the first paragraph that this is a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. That's why the Acharyas have written such a long commentary. That's why Prabhupada wrote such a long commentary. And that's all I could prepare today. 11 paragraphs. If there was 11 verses with 11 paragraphs, then I could have prepared that. Okay, so. Any other points?
Spiritual association with the spiritual master, like serving the spiritual master is like serving the Lord himself. And that way we serve the Lord, and if we deceive the spiritual master, then we don't have anything.
Yeah, good point. Prabhupada said yesterday, one of the last points was that one can only please Krishna by pleasing Krishna's devotees, Yashat Prasada Bhagavat Prasada, which means that we, by serving, pleasing the Guru, then we attain Krishna's, Krishna becomes pleased. You cannot please Krishna if you do not please Krishna's devotees. We must learn to please Krishna's devotees, then Krishna becomes pleased. Okay. So we read verse 29. Maitreya answered, Dhruva Maharaja's heart, which was pierced by the arrows of harsh words of his stepmother, was greatly aggrieved, and thus, when he fixed upon his goal of life, he did not forget his misbehavior. He did not demand actual liberation from this material world, but at the end of his devotional service, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared before him, he was simply ashamed of the material demands he had in his mind. Brenda, can you read that first paragraph? Okay. Mm-hmm. John, can you read that first?
This important verse has been discussed by many stalwart commentators. Why was Dhruva Maharaj not very pleased, even after achieving the goal of life he desired? A few devotees always free from any kind of material desire. In the material world, one's material desires are all more demonic. One thinks of others as one's enemies. One thinks of revenge against one's enemies. One aspires to become the topmost leader, the topmost person in this material world. And thus one competes with all others. This has been described in Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter as asurit. The pure devotee has no demand from the Lord. His only concern is to serve the Lord sincerely and seriously, and he is not at all concerned about what will happen in the future. In the Mukunda Mala Stotra, King Kulachendra, author of the book, states in his prayer, "My dear Lord, I don't want any position of sense gratification within this material world. I simply want to engage in your service perpetually." Similarly, Lord Chaitanya in his Shishtashtaka also prayed, "My Lord, I do not want any amount of material wealth. I do not want any number of materialistic followers, nor do I want any attractive wife to enjoy. The only thing I want is that I may engage life after life in your service." Lord Chaitanya did not pray even for mukti or liberation.
So what are the points here?
A pure devotee is free from any material desire, and he doesn't even ask for liberation, and he wants only devotional service to the Lord.
Good. Any other points?
Lord Kapila also says this question to you. Last year, Diya Manam Nakaranti Vina Matsevananda. There he says that devotees don't desire Sarushi and Ekatma, because devotee only wants to serve the Lord. Where there is no service, he is not interested in that thing. I think he was Kapila Devi.
Yeah, it was in that section. I think Kapila would have spoken. Any other points?
Yeah. Prabhupada says here, material desires are demoniac.
Heavy statement. Anything else? So, we have to analyze our consciousness, analyze our heart as devotees, and we have to become dissatisfied with anything which falls short of pure devotional service. It's very difficult to be a pure devotee of Krishna, and this is exalted. So, obviously we are not pure devotees of Krishna, but we should aspire to be pure devotees of Krishna. Because Jivera Swarupa Hoy, Krishna and Nitya Das, originally we were pure devotees of Krishna. That is our birthright. That is our constitutional position, to be a pure devotee of Krishna. So we have to come back to that platform once again, of being pure in our service to Krishna. So that means that we have to become discontent with our consciousness if there is anything in our consciousness which is not pure devotional service, anything which is mixed. So that has to come out of our heart. That is what this Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching. That's what Rupa Goswami is teaching. That's what Srila Prabhupada is teaching. That's why Prabhupada would push the devotees so much. Because we have to get beyond this. You can be a mixed devotee, and that's okay, because it means you're a devotee and you're serving Krishna, but you will come back life after life. Okay. If you want to break the cycle of birth and death, if you want to leave this material world once and for all, then you have to become a pure devotee. So that means the devotees and Krishna and the spiritual master will push you. And if that is your desire, then Krishna will make arrangements to purify your heart. If you actually desire to leave this material world and to become pure, then Krishna will make those arrangements. Then everything will become intense. Like that. Just like on the Sunday night, I was speaking to Burujan Prabhu on the phone, and I said, "How has your week been?" And he said, "Intense." Because he obviously does not want to stay in this material world anymore. So if you don't want to stay in this material world anymore, what does it become like? It becomes intense. Because then Krishna will purify you of every last contamination. So this is what will happen. So this is the test for all of us. When you really want to become serious, then Krishna will purify everything. So everything will become intense. And actually Rupa Goswami says that it is only by intense devotional service that you can become fully devoted to Krishna. It cannot be any other way. So this is what the Bhagavatam teaches us, to become pure in our devotion to Krishna. Not mixed in our devotion. You can be mixed if you like, but then you have to accept the position. If you want to be mixed, then you have to stay in the material world, because that's where mixed devotional service takes place. So you can be a demigod, you can be a devata, you can be a Lord Brahma, you can be, you know, a devotee, you can be an ISKCON devotee, you can do devotional service, but if you're attached to material things, then you have to stay in the material world. You cannot transcend. So if you desire to transcend, if that's actually your desire, and that is the desire of the Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas. The followers of Rupa Goswami, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, that is the movement. That is the mood of Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, or Gaur Vishwanath Babaji Maharaj, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Jagannath Prasad, all the acharyas, that is the mood. It is full surrender, it is pure devotional service. So if you want to follow that line, right, if you want to become fully purified in devotional service, then Krishna will make those arrangements. And your life will intensify, and your devotional service will intensify, and you'll become purified. You'll be faced with your contamination. And you'll be forced to make the choice whether or not you want to move on and to fully surrender to Krishna. Okay. So this is what the Bhagavatam is teaching. So Prabhupada points out in the purport that a pure devotee does not place any demand upon Krishna. We have to subtly analyze our consciousness. Are we placing demands upon Krishna? Krishna, I will surrender, but this will be necessary for me. I will need this much if I am to surrender to you. So are we placing demands upon Krishna in our consciousness? Are we saying to Krishna, yes, I will surrender to you, but I need certain conditions? But that is not ahoituki bhakti. That is not pure devotion. That is mixed devotion. That is motivated devotional service. So we have to come to a higher platform in devotional service. That is what the Bhagavatam is teaching. Prabhupada says also in the purport that a devotee is not concerned with the future. So this means you have to be very, very advanced to not be concerned with the future, to fully trust in Krishna. Because all of us think about the future. We think, what is our security, what is our situation, how will we be maintained, how will we be protected? Everyone thinks like that. But then a pure devotee thinks, Krishna will look after me, so what is the problem?
In the next class, he discussed one point, like a devotee should always plan for the future. And this statement, isn't it?
Sounds contradictory like that. So it means that Krishna gives you an occupation, he gives you a job. So then you see that as coming from Krishna. Krishna gave you that. So then you take advantage of that and you save money for the future, understanding that this is Krishna's arrangement for you to create some security in the future. But we're always dependent upon Krishna. We don't. In other words, a pure devotee does not have anxiety because he understands Krishna is maintaining me now, but we have to use our intelligence. Just like Prabhupada was very intelligent. Rupa Goswami said that 50% you give to the Krishna Consciousness Movement. 50%. That's, you know, in those times that was easier, maybe it's harder now, but at least something should go. But 50% goes to the Krishna Consciousness Movement, 25% for personal maintenance, and then 25% for a rainy day. So that's intelligence. That's what our acharyas taught us. So we save money and accumulate money for the future, so that we will have a secure future. So that's permissible, like that. But what it means, if one's a pure devotee, he doesn't have anxiety. He says, well, Krishna is giving me this opportunity now. I'll use my intelligence in his service, but I don't have anxiety that I won't be looked after. Krishna will look after me. That's how the devotee thinks. He's not in anxiety, always thinking, I have to do this, I have to do that. No, Krishna will look after us. Sometimes it happens, like devotees lose their job. A devotee loses their occupation. So then what does the devotee think? If he's a pure devotee, then the devotee thinks, that's okay, Krishna will look after me. And then what happens? Krishna looks after us. Because that's what happens. Right? If you give all your life to Krishna, then what's going to happen? Just like for myself, then, you know, at the moment I'm disabled. Right? So I have some problem. I can't look after myself at the moment. But to be honest, as soon as all this happened, I didn't have any anxiety. Because I knew that I'd be looked after. Like that. So that's the situation. You know, Krishna will look after me, and Krishna's devotees will look after me. So where's the anxiety? Right? There's no anxiety. Like that. Since this happened, really, I haven't had any anxiety, because I thought, well, Krishna will look after me, the devotees will look after me. And then what happens? Krishna looks after you, the devotees look after you. That's how we think. That's how devotees think. So we don't think otherwise. Like that. So, we have to have faith and trust in Krishna. We just think, that's how a devotee needs to think. That Krishna will look after. If you give yourself fully to Krishna, then Krishna will fully take care of you. Just like, even in the material world, if we give ourselves fully to someone, then we understand that person will look after us. Right? This is what is essential in devotional life. We see that because at the moment I'm staying with Krishna Kataprabhu, so I'm been speaking to Sri Yashoda Mataji and Sevamrita Mataji. So they're coming from Gauri Yoga, Devamrita Swami's ashram in Wellington, like that. So they're describing to me, and also you see this in Chaupati, you see this in different places in the world, in ISKCON, that when the devotees become very, very close, and when the devotees form a very genuine relationship with each other, and when the relationships become real, and they become loving, and the relationships become purified, then we feel that we'll always be looked after by the devotees. We don't feel any anxiety. Because you give so much to the devotees, then when you're in trouble, the devotees will look after you. That's how Krishna protects us. Because we're surrendering to Krishna, we're surrendering to Krishna's devotees, we're exchanging love with Krishna's devotees, we're giving continuously to Krishna's devotees and to Krishna, then we are looked after. So the devotee does not have anxiety. Like that. So then, as Prabhupada says in the purport, devotees have no concern for the future. Meaning that we just know Krishna will look after us. Right? Just like sometimes the wife says to the husband, what will happen later? That's sometimes what the wife says. She says, what will happen? And so what does the husband say sometimes? Krishna will look after us. That's how we think. Krishna will look after us. You know, we don't think we're going to serve Krishna our whole life, and then we get old, and then there's no protection or no maintenance, or, you know, we won't be looked after. We know we'll be looked after. We've been looked after so far, and we'll be looked after in the future. So that is the what we're being taught by the Bhagavatam. Just give everything to Krishna, and Krishna will take care of everything. What happened with Dhruva Maharaj? Dhruva Maharaj surrendered to Krishna, and then what happened? Krishna looked after him. Okay. So that is the message of the Bhagavatam. Don't have any anxiety. Right? It's easy to say all this. I know for myself, I haven't got to this platform yet. You know, I haven't fully surrendered to Krishna. Sometimes in my mind, I say, oh, you feel anxiety in the mind. You know, but actually, there's no anxiety. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I have anxiety or what will happen with this situation. I know in my heart that Krishna will take care of it, but still there's some anxiety, so it's not pure. I'm not fully surrendered to Krishna yet. And then when, time and time again, Krishna takes care of the situation. And then at the end of the day I say, see? You know, I did know Krishna was going to take care of it, but I had anxiety. But if I was a pure devotee, then I would not have anxiety in my mind. I'd fully understand that Krishna will look after us. Right? So that is the platform that we have to cultivate in devotional service. This is Sharanagati. No? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says 6 items of surrender. Right? And the third and fourth item is Krishna is my maintainer, Krishna is my protector. That is surrender.
When you say asking for anxiety, can we say that a pure devotee is liberated?
Yeah, of course.
In order to wind up our material affairs very quickly, and we want to practice the form of Krishna, due to intelligently advanced advantage from our financial resources. Is that something still called regarding our Krishna?
Yeah, because Krishna has given you, just like Krishna gives you a good job and you can make lots of money, right? Then work, you know, take advantage of that situation, save the money and retire 10 years earlier. Then that's good. Not that you work so hard that you neglect all your sadhana in the meantime, but, you know, have a balanced program. But if Krishna's giving the opportunity, you save the money and retire early. Then go and preach. Go and travel with your guru. Go and live in Vrindavan. Go and preach.
Thank you.
Okay. Take advantage. Okay. If Krishna gives the opportunity, then use the opportunity. Okay, so. Any other point?
One thing is that, that going back to Godhead, we are all hungry to go like the spiritual world. My question is, what difference is there whether you are here or there? If you are serving Krishna, even if you are changing body, still you are serving Krishna, that you are already on the spiritual platform. There is no difference between having a spiritual body or a material body engaged in devotion service.
Yeah, actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the Shikshaktika, he says, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundari, Kavitam, Ba, Jagat Isha, Kamaye, Mama Jamani, Jamanishwari. So Jamani means birth after birth, I don't mind. So actually pure devotional service, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says if I take birth again, that's okay. Bhagavad Bhaktiya Ahoituki. Ahoituki means no motivation. Means I don't even desire to go back to the spiritual world. I just desire to serve you, birth after birth. If you take me back, then so be it. If you don't, then...
Why do we sometimes get frustrated from the material world and say that it is very intense?
Because it's very intense. Just like Chaitanya picked me up tonight and I got in the car and he says, there's something wrong? And I said, yeah. I said, yeah, things are a little intense. Yeah, because I'm going through this, my wife's going through the same thing. And then someone else where we're staying is also going through something very intense. So 1 hour, you know, my day was a little bit, you know, difficult, you know, but then 1 hour before I came here, then everything got really intense. And I just thought, oh, you know, this is just the material energy, sometimes it happens like that. So the material world is intense. Cannot escape it.
So regarding your question, what's the difference between in this material world and the spiritual world? Here, you might not be able to do continuous service because of bodily business or whatever, whereas if you go to the spiritual world, you do continuous because there's no old age or anything there. Whereas here, you could have sickness which could interrupt the service. That's one of the main differences between here and there.
Yeah, on one level, but on the other level, like if you look at Prabhupada, then he was here even though, you know, when he appeared to be sleeping or whatever, but still he was serving Krishna. So actually there is no interruption for a pure devotee. But you're right. You're right.
Like bodily, I mean like materially, externally, yeah. Even though internally they could...
they're still serving Krishna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if they appear to be asleep, they're still serving Krishna. But you're right that the material body has limitations.
Yes, I think the mother is fine. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord says there is nobody more dear to me than one who preaches my glory. So in that sense, there is no preaching opportunity in the spiritual world. It's only available in the material world. In that sense, there is a difference. You're serving the Lord here and devotee who preaches. Because I'm reading Indrajana Maharaj's blog today, and he went all the way to some fire, temple of fire or somewhere in some very godforsaken place in Russia. And then he was praying for one of his disciples. And then he has written that this is what is my service to Srila Prabhupada. He just wants to continue doing that for us. There is not even a trace of desire that he wants to go back to Godhead. He wants to go to the most abominable corners of the earth. And then serve Srila Prabhupada continuously traveling. This is amazing.
And Prabhupada always gives example of Narada Muni, that he travels even to Patalo, everywhere, but his only job is to preach.
I remember that when my godbrother Sota Krishna Prabhu left his body because of cancer, he was very young. And Maharaj was sitting right by his side, all Chopati devotees were there, and Maharaj was telling him, Maharaj was actually whispering into his ear that Krishna, Lord Krishna is coming, and he was explaining some Ashtakali Leela type thing to Sota Krishna Prabhu. And he just turned around and told Maharaj, I don't want to go back to the spiritual world, I just want to come back and serve you, I want to be with you. Amazing consciousness. Something which just happened 3-4 years ago.
Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says that just like when a diamond is on a white background or is situated amongst other diamonds, it doesn't look as effulgent or as beautiful. So when the diamond is on the black background, then it becomes very prominent. So devotional service in the material world is even more like effulgent, because in this material world there's an opportunity to preach, to spread the Sankirtan movement. So it becomes, devotional service becomes even more prominent in the material world. And it even says it's even more relishable. As Jagannath Brahma Prabhu says, there's something you can't get in the spiritual world, you can't preach there. So that's something that you can get here that you can't even get there. So the most advanced devotees, they just say, if I come or I go, that's up to you. Any other points?
Sometimes when we keep analyzing our heart, and because we heard and we know, like, you know, we cannot have, we are objectively able to view our anatta, and usually, you know, they come up as a stark reality and create despondency sometimes within the heart. So what do we deal with that? Because devotional service has to be just in our heart, not start feeling rejected and
Yeah, so if you analyze pure devotional service, if you look at Bhava Bhakti, then Rupa Goswami says there are 9 symptoms of Bhava, you may remember, from Nectar of Devotion, when we studied. It was a while ago, like that. So there are 9 symptoms of Bhava Bhakti, and one of the symptoms is that devotee has great hope. So devotee always feels enthusiastic. Krishna will accept me, Krishna does accept me, and all these things. And simultaneously, one of the other qualities is a great feeling of humility, or a great awareness of my disqualifications. So then you have a tension between the two situations. That's what happens as you advance more. At the moment, we don't really look down upon ourselves, actually. You know, most of the time we actually think we're quite acceptable. You know, we actually think, oh yeah, I'm reasonable. But when you start advancing, then you really start to feel fallen. You'll see in the prayers of the very advanced devotees, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottama Das Thakur and so forth, you'll see that that feeling is actually there. What is that feeling? That I am actually fallen. Okay. So that hasn't even come into our consciousness so much yet. But that really deep feeling that we are fallen. Yeah. So the tension arises as you advance, as you really begin to advance, that I'm very fallen, but Krishna is very merciful. Like that. So it's like, you know, you look at Prabhupada, like Prabhupada obviously thought he was the most fallen. But simultaneously he was always blissful. Because he understood, I'm Krishna's servant and Krishna is my Lord, and he had great satisfaction that Krishna is so merciful to me. But simultaneously, whenever he spoke about himself, he never, you know, promoted himself. So a devotee has that simultaneous, like that feeling.
Vrindas Kaviraj also in the same field, in the Jatam. And he's in a very, very good.
Lower than a worm in the stool.
Lower than a worm.
Yeah. And he means that. We say those things all the time. You know, I'm lower than a worm in the stool. I'm the most lowest. I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you are the most nothing. One devotee said to Prabhupada, I am the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you are the most nothing. Jagannath Mata is the most fallen. Okay, so in the second paragraph, then Prabhupada says that when we reach the platform of Vasudev consciousness, what does Vasudev consciousness mean? Shuddha Sattva. What does Shuddha Sattva mean?
Transcendental goodness.
Transcendental goodness. It means pure goodness. So it means purified from any contamination of the three modes of material nature. That is pure devotional service. That is something we have to work on. That is something we have to become conscientious of. We have to understand what are the symptoms of the mode of ignorance, tamagun, and what are the symptoms of rajagun, the mode of passion. And we have to remove those from our consciousness, like that. We have to cultivate the mode of goodness. Prabhupada explains that from the platform of the mode of goodness, it is a springboard to pure goodness or pure devotional service. So we have to cultivate devotional service in the mode of goodness. And devotional service in the mode of goodness begins with... What's that? Yeah, it does begin with humility. It begins with getting up early in the morning. That's devotional service in the mode of goodness, which most of us, or many of us, are not very good at. Many of us do not get up early in the morning. So already you're touching on passion and ignorance already. Like that. If you want to become a little advanced, then you have to start getting up early. And if you want to start getting up early, you've got to start going to bed early. So you go to bed early, you get up early, and then you begin to cultivate the mode of goodness, devotional service. And then you'll see the effects of the mode of passion and ignorance, they begin to drop away. Like that, when you practice devotional service like that. If you practice devotional service too much in passion, too much in ignorance, like if you work too hard at your job, and then you come home and you're so tired because you've been too passionate, and then you go to sleep and then you can't get up early in the morning, the quality of your rounds, and your whole suddenly degenerates. Like that. So therefore, you have to cultivate the mode of goodness. You have to have a balance. That's a program. Right. It's easy for me because I'm the monk, you know, I'm the brahmana. You know, I don't have the job. You know, I'm dependent on this kind and, you know. So it's easy for me to say it, but actually all of you, your lives are much more challenging because you have, you know, material responsibility. You have work and so forth to deal with. So I just sit here and give class and tell all of you what to do. But you, all of you have a much more challenging situation to go through. Like that. But the fact that if you want to become advanced in devotional service, then somehow, and it takes a great deal of surrender to Krishna, but you have to cultivate the mode of goodness. You have to go to bed early and get up early and have good sadhana. And it's very challenging. And if it's too difficult, then come and live at the farm. And it's not easy down there either. So. Seems like there's no real easy way out in the material world. But this is the point, that we have to come to the platform of Shuddha Sattva. So we have to become conscientious. We have to look at our devotional service and see how our devotional service or how our lives are affected by the mode of ignorance and how our lives are affected by the mode of passion. And we have to begin to cultivate the mode of goodness conscientiously, because from the mode of goodness you can transcend into pure goodness. Very difficult to become a pure devotee from the mode of passion and mode of ignorance. Very, very difficult, practically impossible. Any points?
What are the symptoms of Shuddha Sattva? What are the symptoms of the consciousness based on Shuddha Sattva?
Brahma-bhuta prasanatma, na-sochiti, na-tanchiti, like that, like that. Man-mana, bhava-mad-bhakto, man-yachi, man-manasku, like that. Savadhi-man-bhakto, those verses. end of the 18th chapter. The 9th chapter. Because of the Bhagavad Gita, then which chapter is the Rahasya? It is chapter 9. And the first part of chapter 10. Chapter of Shloki. And chapter 18 at the end summarizes the devotional service once again. And the Bhagavatam is full of verses of Vasudeva consciousness. Okay. So then we understand what is pure devotional service. Any other points?
I heard one way to Guru Prabhupada said something about that, when she was saying about feeling religion for one, sometimes people feel guilty or whatever, really not knowing the highest platform. Prabhupada said to pray to Krishna, to apologize, to say Krishna, because I'm not Christian. Krishna is speaking.
Okay. So in the third paragraph, then Prabhupada points out that Krishna sees that the devotee is absorbed in service. So then he will award the material desires of the devotee because he sees, like in the example of Dhruva Maharaj, we learn so much from this pastime. We have to study this pastime very carefully. And maybe that's why Krishna is slowing down this whole part of the course, because maybe he's making us study it more carefully. So I hope you're taking advantage of the slow pace we're on at the moment, because if you take advantage, you can study the pastime very carefully, understand what's going on here. So, Dhruva Maharaj, he is absorbed in serving the Lord according to the instructions of Narad Muni. Narad gave many instructions in chapter 8 how to serve Krishna, and he very carefully executed those things, but the motivation was completely mixed. He had a very deep motivation. The motivation, his constant meditation, is that I want to become more powerful than Uttanapad, my father, Manu, my grandfather, and my great-grandfather, Brahma. Very fixed and very motivated by this desire. But because he was doing all the service to the Lord very carefully, he was doing deity worship, Narada gave him many instructions, and he executed everything perfectly. And he was doing it all for the Lord, even though it was with motivation, but the Lord was only taking the service. He wasn't so interested in the motivation. And then he served the Lord so nicely that even though the motivations were there, at the end he said, you've done so much nice service for me, and now I will give you myself. And then when he saw the Lord, then he realized what a fool I was, that I had all these other motivations. I should have just been desiring to serve the Lord. He's so beautiful. So then he became purified. And then the Lord said, okay, but all these desires were there, have them anyway. Like that. So the Lord takes the service of the devotee. So what we should do is just fully surrender to Krishna to the best of our ability. Just throw ourselves into the fire of devotional service. Just throw ourselves into serving Krishna to the best of our ability. Just give it everything we've got. And we know that in our heart there are so many material desires. We know we have so many material desires in our heart, but just give everything you can to Krishna. Even though the desires are there, just serve Krishna to the best of your ability. Do as much service as you can. Surrender to Krishna as much as you can. Right? And all those desires are there. But then at the end, Krishna will purify them. He'll remove all those desires. And then he'll fulfill all of those desires as well, which we shouldn't be interested in, but Krishna will take over all those things. So this is what we should do. We should just surrender to Krishna as much as we can, and Krishna will purify everything, as he did with Dhruva Maharaj. Any points?
Thank you.
Yeah, well, both things are there. Well, that's it. It's up to you if you want to stay. It's not so bad. Is anyone really, really disturbed? Just
that. She's sweet, sweet.
If she gets really bad, I'll give a special look. Okay. I'll throw it over in that general direction. Okay. So, Prabhupada does say those things in other purports. Earlier on, he has said that. And now he's saying what he's saying here. Like that. So we can take both as being true. It's not that Krishna doesn't see any of the motivations. But he's seen this pastime. What does Krishna really care about? You did so much service for him in this lifetime. And you're like, I know for myself, I've got so many motivations there. It's not pure devotional service. There's so many other things there. But, you know, what I'm learning from this pastime is just give it all you've got. To serve Krishna and try to push the movement on as far as we can. You know, as much as we can, just push it on and do our service the best we can. And the motivations are there, and we feel bad about that, and we're unable to fully overcome them, but we're gradually trying to purify it all away. And Krishna sees the service, that's what we're seeing here. You know, as a devotee, I'm becoming more and more confident that Krishna will look after us. You know, we just give it the best shot that we have, and then, you know, if we fall short, then, you know, I mean, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? We're going to be born in this con again. So what's bad about that? That's the worst we're going to get. Yeah, the worst we're going to get, you know, when we die, we'll take birth as one of the devotee's children. So that's the worst. So that's fantastic. So give it the best shot you've got, and then Krishna might say, okay, anyway, just go back. You know. Like my Guru Maharaj, Small Krishna Maharaj, is with Lord Chaitanya right now, and with Prabhupada right now, and with Radha and Krishna right now. So then, you know, who knows what could happen. You know, even someone who has no qualification might get elevated, you know, just by mercy. Okay. So just give it everything you can.
Sorry to interrupt.
See,
I shouldn't say because I'm younger in age as well as devotional service. But just confirming my own self. The spiritual world is a place where we are deeply doing the devotional service. So it's the state of our mind when we are totally engaged in devotional service. So if we develop that mentality or that consciousness even here, that means we have already attained that state, as Prabhupada is again and again repeating. So I think it's the serving propensity or service attitude. Thank
you. Yeah,
so at this stage, can we say that Guru Maharaj has become completely pure in his spirit or the soul contamination that he had when he was doing the same things that he did?
Yeah.
There is a lot of fear, he became purified. Now, having come to a purified level of consciousness, how could he basically go down to the level of becoming a king in pure state and then rule the 26,000 people?
Because, as like Jagannath Prabhu pointed out before, then because his motivations were there in the beginning, it wasn't pure devotional service in the beginning, there was a heavy motivation. So Krishna removed all the desires, but because of that, then it was sequential, him, you know, going back to Godhead. It didn't happen automatically. He had to stay 36,000 years on the earth, but as a pure devotee. And then he went to Dhruvaloka, which is a Vaikuntha planet. Just like you see in the sixth canto, you see Ajamil. So at the end, he chants Narayan, 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 and then Prabhupada explains he goes to Hardwar. And then one more life, and then he becomes purified by Sadhana, and then he goes back. So if you're not pure in your motivations, you may not go back immediately. Just like it says you die in Vrindavan, so then you go back to Godhead, but that may not mean like just straight back to Godhead. That means there may be some purification involved, but it means you are going back to Godhead.
Bharat Maharaj also had to say he had to become Jalavada.
And he was on Bhava Bhakti. Okay. So then, in the fourth and the fifth paragraph, Prabhupada mentions that Krishna is Muktipati, which means he can give any kind of liberation. Now, for the devotee, a devotee receives the four kinds of Vaishnava liberation, which is Swarupya, Salokya, Sasti, and Samitya, which means you can go to the same planet as the Lord, you can have the same form as the Lord, you can have the same opulence as the Lord, and you can have the association with the Lord. All these things you can attain. Now, devotees will accept this. They accept this kind of liberation. But they do not accept Sayujya, which means to merge into the effulgence of the Lord. But if someone approaches the Lord and he has that kind of desire, then Krishna can also give that. Just like the Mayavadis, they worship the deity. So they're worshipping the deity, but the desire is to become one with the deity, or to merge into the Brahmana. So then the Lord gives that benediction. But, as Prabhupada explains, you may get that position, but then you have to come back down into the material world once again. It is not an eternal situation. The only thing which is eternal is when you become situated in your Swarupa, or your eternal relationship with Krishna once again. Then that is eternal, that stays. Now in the sixth paragraph, then Prabhupada says that for devotees, mukti means being situated in one's loving, transcendental relationship with Krishna. That is what we aspire for. That's what we said at the beginning of the class. The devotee's desire is to be fixed in one's transcendental, loving relationship with Krishna, which means one's swarup. Now, it means to reawaken our lost relationship with Krishna, our particular rasa with Krishna. Okay? This is what Rupa Goswami is teaching. Bhakti ras, amrita sindhu. To understand what is the goal of the sadhana? Sajja, perfection. What is perfection? Perfection is developing your relationship with Krishna in one of the rasas with Krishna, which means according to what your desire is. What is your desire? What sort of rasa do you want to have with Krishna? This will become, as you become purified, this desire will come out. Now, that do you want to serve Krishna as a friend? Do you want to serve Krishna as a parent? Do you want to serve Krishna as a lover? This particular desire will come out as we become purified. This is what we're aiming for. We don't just want to be mental devotees for the rest of eternity. This is not what we are now, is not the goal. Just devotees who, fight with their material desires all the time. Always on the mental platform, and minds are disturbed by this and by that. No. The actual goal of our sadhana, of our chanting, is to get some desire to understand our relationship with Krishna on the transcendental platform. Not on the bodily platform, free from this material body. Okay. Any points? Okay. Now, in the seventh paragraph, Prabhupada explains that it is necessary that the devotees develop the correct motivation in our service. Because when a devotee develops the correct motivation in his service, then he sees, he reaches the Vasudeva platform of consciousness. And what is the Vasudeva platform of consciousness? That means pure devotional service, where he's on the spiritual platform. So when one gets to the spiritual platform, what takes place? Then he sees material desires and material position as being insignificant. Just like Prabhupada explains in the purport that for an advanced devotee,
he sees the position of Lord Indra and Lord Brahma as being insignificant. He doesn't see that as being anything significant. He's not impressed by anything material. This is a symptom of one advancing in Krishna consciousness. When we become advanced in Krishna consciousness, we don't become interested in something material. Just like last couple of weeks, the whole world has been absorbed in Michael Jackson passed away. So then everyone starts buying his music again, starts watching his videos again. But for a devotee, it's insignificant. Nothing significant, just, you know. Materialists, they think everything is so significant, all the material things. Who won the football? Who won Wimbledon? 5 sets. 16-14, 5th set. Yeah, and how much did he get paid? What's the prize money? Big money. Big money. Yeah. So, but like one friend of mine, he was saying, it was 5 sets and the last set was 16-14 and, like that. And I said to him, it's just two guys running around on grass hitting a piece of rubber over a net. And you get paid 1.5 million pounds if you can hit the ball over the net the last time. Yeah, what is that? So everyone gets very caught up. But for a devotee, it's all insignificant. We really don't care. You know, sometimes at the farm we go and play tennis just to relax. You know, we've got a tennis court 3 minutes up the road. Beautiful tennis court, surrounded by forest. The most beautiful tennis court in Australia. And it's always open and it's free. And we just sometimes go out and play tennis, but we don't get serious about it. We don't like, you know, we don't care, we'll just have a hit, you know, just play some tennis. Like me and your guest, sometimes we play tennis together. Yeah, we just have a hit. We just, we don't take it seriously. So, we start throwing our rackets at the fence or what, it's just a bit of fun like that. So that's the position for a devotee. He sees everything in this world as being insignificant. He doesn't think that it's all. He doesn't take it all seriously. The materialists, they take everything very seriously. Michael Jackson is very important, and Roger Federer is very important. You only become important in your in terms of your connection to Krishna. Then you become important. Everything else is insignificant. So devotee sees everything in the material world as insignificant. He doesn't see it as important. Okay. Now in paragraph 8, Prabhupada explains that the non-devotees, excuse me, he explains that the non-devotees desire to dominate the material world. What for? Yeah, Prabhupada says the sense gratification. Why do we want to dominate the material world? The sense gratification. What was Dhruva Maharaja's motivation in the beginning? Let me dominate this world.
Power.
Right? Yeah, because with power, what do you get? You get pleasure. Why do people work so hard? So they can get money. And what does money buy?
Power.
Sense gratification. Right? If you get artha, then you get
karma.
And then you'll be happy. That's the whole philosophy. Like that. But for a devotee, this is insignificant. It is shrama eva hi kevalam. It is a useless waste of time. Just to live your life to get money so you can be happy. What's your happiness? There's no real happiness there in the material world. Like that. Just like I was in Vrindavan, I think it was about 1999. I can't remember. It was one of the trips. And we were there for Kali Puja, which is, I think it's just before Kartik. I think.
Just before Kartik. So a few times I've been over there, Vrindavan and Mayapur, it's Kali Puja. Just sometimes we go, it's just before or just after at that time. So one time I was there, I was in Vrindavan, it was Kali Puja. So I was going through Lloyd Bazaar, and a lot of people were doing Kali Puja. So, you know, there was lights everywhere and noise everywhere, and all the loudspeakers would turn up to maximum volume. And, you know, everyone was doing Kali Puja, a lot of colour, a lot of noise, a lot of festivity. And they were offering a lot of sweets. And then one guy, I walked past, and he said, come. And he said, see what we have done for Durga, for Ma Kali, see what we have done. And he had kind of ramp going back into the shop. And it must be like, you know, maybe from here up to that wall, maybe, like that, like a big ramp, probably about 6 foot wide. It's just full of sweets. Like that huge. Must have cost thousands of rupees. And he said, this is all for Ma Durga. But you could see it was 100% motivated. It was just complete material, you know, motivation in the service. He knew it as well. He was proud of it. To see what we are doing. We are giving so much to Ma Kali. We are giving so much to Durga. And his mentality is we will get so much in return. We will worship her and we will become rich. Like that. So that's the nature of the material world. People want to develop artha or economic development so they can get sense gratification. And they'll even do dharma. Dharma means you'll even worship some devata to get sense gratification. But for a devotee, it's all insignificant. Dharma, artha, karma, moksha, it's just all insignificant. The fifth purusharta is?
Bhakti.
Bhakti. And for a devotee, that is the only significant goal of life. Is Krishna pleased with this? Just like a couple of weeks later after Durga Puja, there is Kartik, yeah, but which one?
Diwali.
Yeah, close to Diwali.
Govardhan
Puja. Yeah. So they do Durga Puja. Huh?
It's after Diwali, isn't it? Govardhan Puja?
Yeah, so near Diwali. Close to, around Diwali time, like that. So the materialists do Durga Puja, and the devotees do?
Govardhan
Puja. So same thing. You go to Vrindavan and there's big piles of sweets, not that big. Just like we do Anukut at our Bhaktivedanta Ashram in Govardhan, and I've been there 1 year for Govardhan Puja that I can remember, maybe more. And big Anukut, like the devotees cook so much, like this whole like area of the carpet, just offerings, all for Guru Raj, like that. Like that. So we do a bit, the motivation is totally different. We're not doing a Guru Raj, take it and then give us, you know, so we'll become wealthy this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't care, we just give it all to Guru Raj. Like that. Guru Raj, please give us bhakti. Please give us your service. Please give us eternal resonance next to you. That is our motivation. That is our desire, to be engaged in service, in bhakti. So this is what the Bhagavatam is teaching. So Dhruva Maharaji began with sense gratification as a desire, but then he rejected it. So that's what the Bhagavatam is teaching us. That is what this pastime is teaching us. We have desires for sense gratification, but sooner or later it has to be rejected. We have to get rid of all of this, sooner or later. Hopefully sooner. Better you do it now, because you have to do it later anyway. So better you do it now. Don't listen to your parents. Because quite often the parents say, you can do this when you're older. Okay. Don't listen. If they say that, don't listen. Yeah. Okay. You should do it now. Become pure now. Okay. As Prabhupada says, shoot for the white rhino. Means go for an A. It's like at school, try to get an A. Because then you might get C, but then if you go for C, then you might get D or M.
So at least try to become a pure devotee. Even if you can't, that's okay. Because then Krishna might say, okay, anyway, she's good enough. 78% in Bhakti Vaibhava is good enough. When you get back to the spiritual world, you say, well, I didn't get 100% in Bhakti Vaibhava. You say, okay, what was the mark? You say 78%. Okay. No. B plus is good enough. Even C plus is good enough. If you are sincere, that's the point. Okay. So then, paragraph 9, Prabhupada says, we've covered that point, so then paragraph 10, Prabhupada says, we've covered that point also. And paragraph 11, Prabhupada says,
eventual attitude.
So then Prabhupada finishes the purport. He explains that if we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will fulfill our desires beyond our imagination. Like, who could imagine that you would get resonance on the pole star, on a Vaikuntha planet? Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted something greater than Lord Brahma's kingdom. So he got something far, far greater than Lord Brahma's kingdom. That all his desires were fulfilled. So devotees should develop this confidence in Krishna. We are confident that Krishna will fulfill all the desires. Simply surrender to Krishna and all the desires will be fulfilled. So this test must be there. So all of us are going through this. Like that. And it's quite amazing because do you ever have this experience that sometimes there's something going on in your life and you open Prabhupada's books and Prabhupada, it's almost like Prabhupada is speaking to you. Has anyone ever had this situation happen? Okay. So sometimes you're reading a section of the Bhagavatam and it's like all the points that are in this section of the Bhagavatam is exactly what's going on in our life at the moment. Because all these things that are in this pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, this is all the things that are going through my life at the moment. All these points that Prabhupada is making and emphasizing is exactly what I'm going through at the moment. So the Bhagavatam is alive. It is Krishna. It is Krishna in literary form. It's the literary incarnation of God. So that's why devotees must study the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you don't study the Bhagavatam, then you're missing out on so much in your devotional service. So therefore you must study the Bhagavatam. So take advantage. And what is the 12th aim of our 12th aim of our Shastric studies? Responsibility for learning. So at the moment your teacher is a little handicapped. His brain is a little bruised. So that means I can't cover everything at the moment. Just like usually at the beginning of the class I recap what we've done so far. But to be honest with you, because we're quite good friends, I can't remember what chapter 8 is about at the moment. I can't remember what happened in chapter 8. I'm struggling just to remember what happened in chapter 9 at this point in time. So that means you have to be responsible. You have to find out what's going on in chapter 8 at the moment. So the course is moving a little slow at the moment because I'm moving a little slow at the moment. So at least at this point in time, if Krishna is slowing it down, take it as an arrangement to study this chapter 8 and chapter 9 very closely. Like that. Because your exam will come. I don't know when, but one day you will be examined on this. So make sure you understand it. Because I may not teach it so well at the moment. So it's your responsibility to understand it. Don't think you're going to be... Don't think I'm going to be so spaced out when I mark your exams. Don't think you're all going to get big marks. Just because Keshav is all over the place. So I'm just going to give you all my big mark. No. When I mark your exams, I'm still going to mark them properly, like that. But it means that you have to study carefully, because I may not be able to deliver everything at this point in time. So you have to take responsibility. When your exams come, you'll still be marked properly, like that. So, for the Prabhupada key.